Boker Tov, Boker Tov. In Pirkei Avot it says, Havei mitpalel lishloma shel malchut. And you have to realize when that was said, who won? The winner. Hasn't been declared yet, but Savir lehaniach, it's not going to be a woman.
Really? You know, his children, his daughter and husband went to the
Lubavitcher Rebbe. They went. I said before he came in that, you know, a bracha from the Lubavitcher Rebbe is not in vain, even posthumously. Don't take it lightly. So the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot that one should, you know, be mitpalel that the government should see favor in Am Yisrael. You know, we have all kinds of tefillot in the machzorim for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and for Chagim. In this respect, those are printed in Chutz Laaretz. So there are still many people who have machzorim that were printed before 1948, before there was a thing called Tefillah L'Shalom Amdina. But I remember from Hebrew Publishing Company, Delancey Street, was printed up in 1911, but you know, reprinted over and over with Yiddish translation, because that's the only language HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands on Yom Kippur, so, a little Yiddish. So there was a tefillah before Yikum Purkan for the President of the United States of America. And Hanotein Shot Lamalachim, yeah, there was that. Maishtibel, we never said it, but there were in the shul in Moscow, in the great shul in Moscow, before liberalization. So you know that Simchat Torah was the one day that the communist government allowed Jews to go to shul, and it was a very big deal. And on the wall, like, you know, as they say, Ba'otiyot Kedush Levanav, very large letters, there was such a tefillah that the Kedosh Baruch Hu should protect the, you know, the Tsar of Russia. I mean, there's the biggest sign of Yisrael. But as the Mishnah says, Shil Malei, if you don't have government, Ishet Re'eu Chayim Balau, everyone's going to eat each other up alive. So you have to have some form of, you know, law and order. And whether you approve of the government, don't approve of the government. And I say this also to people here in Israel who have problems with Medinat Yisrael and Memshalat Yisrael on an ideological level. But law and order you have to have. That goes without saying. And therefore, you know, the tefillah certainly is in order without any question. It's clearly in order. And you know, we're hopeful that you know, with a change of government in the United States, that the country will remain allied, you know, to Israel and look out for our needs, whether at the United Nations or other places. We have to do our thing. We have to do as much as we can that we do not require the assistance of outside quote unquote friends. If you recall from the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, it says "V'lo la'am acher," you know, that we shouldn't have to resort to others. But when Chazal said that Mishnah, "Havei mitpalel l'shloma shel malchut," so they were talking about the vicious Roman, you know, government that was prevalent here in Eretz Yisrael at the time, no less vicious than Tsarist Russia, and yet Chazal felt that that was better than nothing. You cannot have a vacuum of authority. It's very, very important. So, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu entrusts a certain measure of leadership in human hands, and we hope for the best. We certainly hope for the best. Unfortunately, this was a particular election where it was the bad and the worst. And the only machloket was who was the bad and who was the worst. That was the whole machloket. Nobody saw, you know, good leadership in either camp. It was very, very sad. Very, very sad in terms of you know, personal integrity, in terms of everything. If this is the best the United States can come up with, you know, oy vavoy, och en vey, as they say in Yiddish. And I dare say, well, not prophet, but I dare say, that it's not out of the realm that as Rome took a dive and left the, you know, the Bama, the world stage, the United States might be on its way.
Whose fault is that?
What was that?
She's looking. She's trying to.
Okay.
The other thing, Rabbi Adler, is
Hashem could have taken this outsider, this exotic character, and using him as a tool.
Look, it could be. I'm not saying no. I'm not saying Kadosh Baruch Hu has all interesting things and ways. But human beings put a person in power, and you have to understand that. There's you did not have a scenario where Kadosh Baruch Hu is forcing anybody to vote in a particular way. What Kadosh Baruch Hu does many times is creates environment and creates situations that bring about human action in a particular direction. And indeed, we do believe in Hashgacha. And, look, it may not be an accident that President of the United States, a future President of the United States, has Jewish grandchildren who are going to be Shomrei Torah Mitzvot. That's remarkable. I mean, that has never happened before. That there was some Jewish blood in the White House, but that was pure intermarriage. I think that Caroline Kennedy married a Jew. I mean, the Kennedys, senior, they're turning over in their graves. I mean, they were the most anti-Semitic family in Massachusetts. And even the Chelsea married a Jewish boy. So at least they knew where to take the money for the chasana. All right. Just want to know how much the Rav Masada Kedushin got for that wedding.
It could have been worse. It could have been Bernie Sanders running.
Yeah, right. Okay, Masada, listen. There are Jews who are technically and halakhically Jews who, unfortunately, sometimes are our biggest thorn. It's we know that. We know that. That's not us. And the Jewish community in the United States was really torn here because of traditional democratic voting and liberalism and so on. One thing is perfectly clear. The average Jew in the United States did not vote by what is good for Israel. That was not the vote. And I think the analysts are really hitting it on the head. The Americans will vote, and Jews alike will vote, for what's good for my pocketbook. That is the foremost indication, and that's why some of the analysts were actually saying, because the Obama years were very doubtful that there was going to be economic recovery and Obamacare and so on, all these things factored in, because that's what Americans care about. They care about how much money they have and how much money they're going to earn and how much taxes are going to be taken off and so on. There was a second issue that had to do with security, and Trump actually built it up to a maximum, and Hillary marginalized it. I think that was certainly a contributing factor. But in terms of what's good for Eretz Israel, I say it's very unfortunate. And, with the 5 million Jews in America, and they certainly have what to say in certain critical states, but it didn't make a bit of a difference. Okay, let's learn something about the Rambam Sefer Mitzvot, and we'll hope for the best. Yeah,
Bakasha. I may have missed it, but what's your coming weeks in terms of the Soloveitchik and Shmot?
We're doing now, at least for the next few weeks, is deal with the Rambam's Book of Mitzvot, Sefer Mitzvot. We've moved away temporarily from the Rav's Machshava on Chumash. We can get back to it, I'm not saying no. But we started this before the Chagim. I've picked up on this. And the Rambam's Sefer Mitzvot, as I mentioned earlier, in the previous Shurim, was written between age 30 and 35, that means after he's completed his Mishnah commentary, before he writes his Mishnah Torah. It's a type of preparatory work towards the Mishnah Torah, where he'd like to have on his table all the material of Taryag Mitzvot, planned out nicely, categorized. And it's a book that it's not just, here's Mitzvah 1, it's this, here's Mitzvah 2, it's that. But he gives a source, he gives a definition, he gives some inkling into the mitzvah. Last week we did Kiddush HaChodesh. It was more than an inkling. What I had printed on the page, and there were quite a few lines, represented a fraction of what the Rambam wrote in Mitzvah 153, Kuf Nun Gimel. And he had very keen insights, and they were novel. They were novel insights. They were chidushim as to how Kiddush HaChodesh functions today. And I reserved that share last week because it was Rosh Chodesh. It was on the money. And we just skipped over Shabbat, we started 2 weeks ago, which we're going to get back to right now. And we're going to see even here how the Rambam defines the positive mitzvah of Shabbat, Zachot Yom Shabbat Tekadesho, which has to do with Kiddush Friday night. Now, when we say Kiddush Friday night, we think of a cup of wine and a text. The question is, do you see a cup of wine in the Pasuk, Zachot Yom Shabbat Tekadesho? Nobody sees a cup of wine there. So there are one or two ways to understand it. Either the cup of wine is completely an oral add-on, which means Moshe Rabbeinu brings it down as a mitzvah, that with a text that we should be saying, this should be over a cup of wine. Why does it say in the Chumash? That you'll ask Kadosh Baruch Hu, why was that relegated to the world of Torah Sheba'al Peh? It remains an oral add-on. And we have plenty of examples of that. That doesn't trouble us at one bit, that it could be an oral add-on, which means that the Kiddush over a cup of wine is a do'aita, is a biblical mitzvah. Over the cup of wine is a biblical component to the mitzvah. Or, as we shall see, the Rambam doesn't buy into that. The Rambam believes that the mitzvah, Zechor Yom Shabbat Kacho, is to say a story, speak the story of Shabbat. And the Chachamim added that that story should be said over a cup of wine. And that's very, very important. Because when a person davens Friday night in Alvit, after Kabbalat Shabbat, so we have Ma'ariv. So what we say in Ma'ariv is, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbat. I mean, the center bracha of all the tefillot of Shabbat ends with Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbat. So essentially, you've made Kiddush, but with staying the story, right? So there are actually three stories. Maybe I'll even jump, but it deserves even a specific attention. Friday night, it's a general story of creation, by Chulo Shemayim Baratz. Shabbos morning, it's the story of an individual, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yismach Moshe B'matnat Chalko, and him bringing the message of Hashamru V'nei Yisrael to Shabbat, from Parshat Kitisa. And so there's a general, almost a communal or corporate message Friday night, or even a universal message. And then there's an individual message Shabbos morning. And for Mincha, it all comes together. Ata echad v'shimcha echad, u'mikamcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. It's a union. So, but all of the brachot end with kachenu b'mitzvotecha, v'ten chalkenu b'toratecha, sabenu mituvecha, samchenu mishuvatecha, v'taher libenu lo'avdecha be'emet, and it says, Baruch Atah Hashem, HaKadosh HaShabbat. So, according to the Rambam, you fulfill the mitzvah already when you daven Ma'ariv. Now, not everybody davens Ma'ariv. Some women don't daven Ma'ariv. Whatever it is, the person didn't daven Ma'ariv yet. So what's the deal with Kiddush over a cup of wine? Well, if there's a rabbinic add-on, I have to do it anyway, because it's a rabbinic add-on, which I didn't do during Ma'ariv. And if the Kiddush over a cup of wine is midoraita, is biblical, then for sure I have to make Kiddush again. I said it. I said the story, but I didn't say over a cup of wine. So I have to redo the mitzvah now over a cup of wine. One of the issues that arises amongst the poskim, according to those who believe that the Kiddush, the whole mitzvah from a biblical point of view, is just to say the words, but over a cup of wine is only rabbinic. So let's assume a man goes to shul and his family is at home, wife and young kids, let's say, just an example, and he's fulfilled the mitzvah of Zechor Yom Shabbat Kacho. So what's left for him is the rabbinic add-on of doing it again over a cup of wine. But one second. The wife who may not have davened Ma'ariv, she's still obligated in the biblical obligation. Can somebody who has only a rabbinic obligation fulfill, be moitzi, can be fulfill somebody with somebody who has a rabbinic obligation, a biblical obligation? Can that work? And that you know, it could be a problem of sorts. That could be a problem of sorts. Because if you're obligated on one level, then you can only be moitzi somebody who's on at least that level. But if there's a higher level, then you can't do it. I'll give an example. There's a machloket, a big machloket, between the Rambam and some of the Geonim, the author of the Halachot Gedolot, Bahag, with regard to Megillah reading, the obligation of women in Megillah reading. So according to the Rambam, it's a shivyon. There's an identical obligation, which means according to the Rambam, a man can read the Megillah for a woman can read the Megillah for a man. But according to the author of the Halachot Gedolot, the obligation for a man is to read the Megillah. The obligation for the woman is just to listen to the Megillah. And there's a qualitative halachic difference between one and the other. Hence, a man can read the Megillah to have a woman fulfill her obligation, but not vice versa. Nothing to do with Koilisha. It has to do with the fact that, according to this view, the woman doesn't have the obligation of reading the Megillah, only of listening to the Megillah. So by her reading it, she may not have the ability, halakhically, to have the man fulfill his obligation. I'm just using this as an example. So if somebody's obligated on a rabbinic level, can a person be mighty somebody on a biblical level? Take, for example, a child, boy or girl for that matter, under bar mitzvah, who knows how to say Birkat HaMazon. You assume an 11-year-old knows how to say Birkat HaMazon. Birkat HaMazon, like any other bracha, the word Yoytzi Moytzi works. Which is, let's say you take two adults, right? Then both of them are obligated in Birkat HaMazon, and one says it out loud, and the other just listens.
Doesn't say Birkat HaMazon, but answers Amen to each bracha, has kavanah, intention, to fulfill the obligation. For sure, the person fulfills the obligation, the other one, because it works. This Yaitzi Maitzi works, just like Kiddush Friday night. But what if it's a kid? It's a kid under Bar Mitzvah. So his obligation for Birkat HaMazon is only rabbinic. Can he say Birkat HaMazon now to be Maitzi, an adult? The answer is no, because the adult has obligation on a biblical level, and the child only on a rabbinic level, so it's not going to work. So how could somebody who fulfilled this biblical obligation of Zachor Yom Shabbat HaKadosho by having Davin Mayru Friday night, and he said, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbat, now he has to fulfill a rabbinic obligation to say Mekadesh HaShabbat, or say the story of Shabbat over a cup of wine. Besides, he's going to do it. But he's only obligated on a rabbinic level, according to some of the poskim. Because biblically, he's done his job already. And now what remains is just to fulfill the rabbinic add-on, which is the way the Rambam understood the mitzvah. Can he now come home and do Kiddush for his wife, who didn't hear, didn't admire, for example, and she still has the biblical obligation hovering over her? Can he be Maisi? So it's so much of an issue that there are some poskim who claim that when the men go to shul Friday night and they daven Ma'ariv, they should have an active kavanah not to be yotze the mitzvah of Zochot Yom Shabbat HaKadosho. So they should remain biblically obligated to the mitzvah when they get home. There are some poskim who suggest that, who actually suggest that. Because we know that there's a whole issue of whether mitzvah requires kavanah, intention, that you're doing it for the mitzvah. There's a machloket. Mitzvot tzrichot kavanah or mitzvot enan tzrichot kavanah. Does the act itself, before you do the mitzvah act, you have to just flip for a second and say, I'm doing this because of a mitzvah? Or you just do it like a blind robot and it gets done. And even if you didn't think about it, the fact is you performed the mitzvah, so it's registered as a mitzvah, as a bona fide mitzvah performance. But everybody agrees that if you have an active kavanah not to be yotzeh, then you don't fulfill your obligation. And that's what led the Vilna Gaon to, in his famous idea, you know, we have this issue with the lulav. We take the lulav and esrog, and you know, you want to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. It's called over la'asiyatan. But immediately prior to your mitzvah, you say the bracha. But the catch is that if you take the arba minim in your hand, you already fulfilled the mitzvah. So when do you say the bracha? So the Jewish head came up with a great idea. You take the esrog upside down. Because the esrog has to be held the way it grows. Now even though in its final maturation stage, the pitum is down because of the weight of the fruit, but when it starts growing, it's actually the pitum is up. The developing etrog is with the pitum up. So therefore, if you take the esrog and the lulav, I'm not going to suggest you take the lulav upside down, that's going to be a little cumbersome. But all you have to do is take the etrog upside down, which is the easier thing to do, and then say the bracha, and then you turn the esrog in its correct way, and then you fulfill the obligation immediately after you said the bracha. The Vilna Gaon had a better idea. You can take the lulav and esrog properly with kavanah not to be yotzeh the mitzvah. So if you pick up the lulav and esrog and the esrog with the pitum up and everything's fine, but your intention is not to fulfill the mitzvah, so you don't get the mitzvah. When do you want to fulfill the mitzvah? After I make the bracha. So these things of kavanah, negative kavanah, it's an intention not to fulfill the obligation, in a sense works. You take, for example, this was a far-fetched suggestion that really was not accepted by the Rabbanut in Yerushalayim, but I'm speaking about a great Talmud Chacham, Rav Zsolti Zatzal, who was the Rav here in Yerushalayim, very, very, very big authority in Halacha. So the question came up with Erev Pesach that comes out on Shabbat, and how to work this with the hotels, because you're not going to start doing B'dikas Chometz on Shabbos morning in the hotels. You're not going to give out challahs and pita. It's not going to work. The hotel has to be kosher l'Pesach beforehand. Meila, you have an apartment and you have a porch that you can sit there in a little cubicle and, you know, have a little challah or bilkala, a little roll or a pita, and then sweep up quickly. That can work at home for Erev Pesach that comes out on Shabbat. But you're not going to do that in a hotel. Hotel, it's got to be spick and span for Pesach before Shabbos comes in. So the question is, what about Lechem Mishnah? So Rav Moshe Feinstein said, you can use egg matzah and upgrade its status to Lechem because it's Sudat Shabbat. But not everybody agreed with that. So what was his great idea? What the issue is that on Erev Pesach, you can't eat matzah. You can't eat matzah. It says, halacha that you don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. On the other hand, you really can't eat chametz from a certain time on. In the morning, you're allowed to, but so he said,
We can take a regular bona fide matzah that's kosher lePesach, but we can bake it shelo l'shem matzah. We have kavana that's not for the mitzvah of matzah. So if you do that, he said, then this is matzah. It's real matzah. Tastes like matzah. Looks like matzah. You know, like Bibi once said, you know, looks like a duck. It sounds like a duck. It must be a duck. So it looks like matzah. Tastes like matzah. It must be matzah. But it's not matzah. It's not halachic matzah. Because it was baked with kavanah, not l'shem mitzvah's matzah. So you can eat it on Erev Pesach. That's what he said. Of course, the reason why most of the Rabbanim were against this, the reason why we don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach, one of the reasons, is that you should not have the flavor of matzah in your mouth as you enter Pesach, but you should be looking forward to the mitzvah of eating matzah on the night of the Seder for the first time. Now, I don't care how much kavana or no kavana you have when you bake the matzah, it's going to taste like matzah. So that's why it was rejected. But it was a suggestion, and the suggestion was predicated upon this idea that you can have a negative kavana. And having said that, so some poskim suggested that men, when they daven Maariv Friday night, they should have a negative kavana on the mitzvah of Zochat Yom HaShabbat HaKadosho, so that when they get home, they're still obligated in the biblical mitzvah of Zochat Yom HaShabbat HaKadosho, and make kiddush for the family, and everybody's happy, it's a doraita, it's a biblical fulfillment. The reason why that's not necessary, and I'm sure... when we grew up and we were taught on some level Dinei Shabbat, anybody hear of that? Nobody even suggested it. You know, these are kind of things that, you know, for Rosh Yeshiva is looking for a crackerjack shir klali in the yeshiva, and he's got to suggest something new that was never ever said before. So, you know, this is what, as my wife would always say, this is what you guys do in the Bishmedrash all day? Come up with these ideas? Yeah, to a certain degree. So the reason why it's really, I don't want to use the word nonsense, Chalila, but it's not necessary, is because even if I'm just obligated rabbinically, what's the difference? There's a din, there's a mitzvah of arevut, kol Yisrael arevim zelazeh, that there is a mutual responsibility act amongst all Jews. And the fact that I kept Shabbat, or I kept the mitzvah, that's very nice. But until you make sure that every Jew kept the mitzvah, you haven't really fulfilled the whole mitzvah. And I think we owe a debt of gratitude to Hasidei Chabad, who've taught us this, to become sensitive. All right, I put on tefillin, so why do you have to go to Tachana Merkazit or the airport? You know, are you Jewish? You put on tefillin today. What do you have to do that for? I mean, there was a fellow here, I know, from YU. So it was at Tachana Merkazit in Yerushalayim, it was Chalom Moed Sukkos, and the Lubavitchers were going around with the Araminim. Did you say a bracha on the Esrei? So the guy said, yeah. I said, no, make a bracha on the Esrei. Make a bracha. He says, all right. Takes the Esrei and he goes, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Mecholam, Borei Pri Ha'Eitz. And he took a bite. which bracha did you have in mind? You know, like... Yeah, it happened. It's a real story. So the fact that a person fulfilled his biblical obligation, irrespective or not, if there's still a rabbinic add-on that's still waiting for him to fulfill with a cup of wine over the words of Kiddush, but the person can still be mighty somebody. If I blew shofar and I heard all the 100 kolot of shofar and shul, well, I can't go home or go to a Beit Avot or go to a Beit Chulim, a hospital, or go to some whoever who didn't hear shofar and blow shofar 100 times. Of course I could do it. There was a time in my life, I used to bring shlachmanis with my Megillah and ask people, did you hear the Megillah? No? Okay, sit down. Express, 15 minutes, but... my youngest son's got it down to 14 minutes, all right? Because he's a pilot, you know, so... does it faster. All right. But the point is that you can do it halachically. So what's the difference if I fulfill the obligation of Zachor with Myra Friday night in shul? I can still go home and be mighty somebody on the level of Doraita, even though from my point of view what's left is only the rabbinic add-on of the cup of wine. So if anybody tells you, why do I say this? Because sometimes, you know, you have certain guests that come for Shabbos, usually some nice yeshiva bacha who just heard a shir on the subject and is going to start telling you what to do, you know, what not to do and so on. So if somebody tells you, you know, something like this, so now you know the answer. You know, you can tell them this. Kol Yisrael arevim zelazeh. There's mutual responsibility. And hence, even if a person fulfills the obligation once, you still have the obligation to guarantee that the next Jew also fulfills the mitzvah. And you don't have to be a Lubavitcher for this. That's bare bones halacha. It's bare bones halacha, this idea of arevut, of mutual responsibility. Very, very important. Very important. So let's get to see what this mitzvah is. So the first source from Sefer Mitzvot actually is a spin-off from the early shiurim we gave before Shem Kippur, where I gave you the whole listing of the chagim of Chodesh of the calendar from Parshat Emor. So that's why this is Kuf Nun Dalet. Kuf Nun Gimel we did last week was Kiddush HaChodesh, but if we open up Sefer Vayikra, Parshat Emor, Vayikra Perek of Gimel, Eile Moadei Hashem Mikra'ei Kodesh, Asher Tikru'u Otam B'Moadam. And here's the list of the Chagim. What we expect is Pesach, first and foremost. And then Sfirat Omer, and Shavuot, and then Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, with a beautiful ending, Vaydaber Moshe et Moadei Hashem, El B'nei Yisrael. This is the concluding Pasuk. But we don't get that. After Eile Moadei Hashem Mikra'ei Kodesh, Asher Tikru'u Otam B'Moadam, we get a two psukim about Shabbat. Where does Shabbos come into this situation here? Who's talking about Shabbat? We're talking about the Moadim. And the Moadim require Kiddush HaChodesh. Shabbat does not require Kiddush HaChodesh. So why are the Moadim there? All the Parshanim ask that question. I mean, Rashi says, to teach you that just as you're so careful about Shabbat, you should be careful about the Moadim. As if Shabbat, that's a given. Everybody knows Shabbat's important, central, and everything. Take care of the Chagim no less than you take care of the Shabbat. That's a nice midrashic idea. But there might be a halachic idea embedded in this mitzvah. And let's see what it is. In source number 2, which is the next mitzvah, Kuf Nun He. HaMitzvah HaKuf Nun He, the 155. Shetzivanu likadesh et haShabbat velomar dvarim biknisato uviyitziyoto. The definition of the mitzvah here of the Rambam says two very important things. One is that the mitzvah is performed twice over Shabbat, once in the onset of Shabbat, and once when Shabbos exits, which means that according to the Rambam, Kiddush and Havdalah are two parts of the same mitzvah. That's what you're making that statement. And that's not agreed upon, because many of the Rishonim believe that Kiddush is the mitzvah, and Havdalah is a rabbinic add-on. There's no such Torah animal called Havdalah as a formal declaration of ending Shabbat. Chazal instituted it, but the Rambam disagrees. He says that Zachot Yom Shabbat HaKadosh says that you have to design the parameters, the borders on both ends. It begins here and it ends here, and both beginning and end have to be declared. Have to be declared with some type of a statement. Lomar Dvarim, to say things, words, and of course the words are going to be relevant for the onset of Shabbat and exiting Shabbat. Obviously, it's not the same text. Hamavdil bin Kodesh l'chol ben or l'choshech is not Mikadesh HaShabbat, but it's a statement about Shabbat. Now we're beginning Shabbat, now we're leaving Shabbat. But it's all part two of the same mitzvah. That doesn't mean that if a person, for whatever reason, did not make Kiddush Friday night, he or she should not be involved in Havdalah. Didn't say that. Similar, the Rambam believes that the one mitzvah of Kriyat Shema says we read Shema twice a day. So a person didn't read Shema in the morning doesn't mean he's exempt from the evening or vice versa. He can have a mitzvah with two parts, but nevertheless, and the total fulfillment is when you do part one and part two, but part one is independent and part two is independent. You can have a fulfillment of the mitzvah by doing part of the mitzvah. It's as simple as that. So Rambam says that the mitzvah is defined by words, not by cup of wine. It's words, and second, it's performed twice every single weekend, every single Shabbat. B'knisato v'yitziyato. What the Rambam does not define here, and this had to wait until our great Rebbe the Rav came about to explain this to us. When we say likadesh, what does that mean? Likadesh, to sanctify. What does it mean to sanctify? Many years ago, I defined here, and this year, the word Kedusha, we use it so often in so many different contexts, sanctity, hallowness. But what does it mean? What is it? Right, so it's synonymous with separation.
But it doesn't tell me the whole story yet, because when we look for a definition of this kind, this nature, you want a definition that every example of Kedushah is going to fit into the definition to the exclusion of everything else. Is that anything else is not going to fit into the definition. Yeah, Baksha.
He tries to transform the ordinary into holy.
Yeah, but I'm using the word holy. Kedusha means holiness. Right. I can't use the word in the definition if I don't know what holy means.
It's a dedication of time and space.
To finish the sentence.
Hashem.
To Avodat Hashem.
Avodat Hashem.
The dedication, it's not just time and space. That's part of the answer. Dedication of anything of this created world, anything of this created world, for the specific purpose of Avodat Hashem, the service of God. That's what Kedusha means.
How does Kedusha
fit? What was that?
How does Kedusha
fit in? How does Kedusha? Kedusha means harlot. How does that fit in? Because Kuf Dalet Shin, and we have this in Biblical Hebrew, sometimes it's has a root that's the same, but then expressed in opposite ways. It means separate, basically. It's an adjective of separate, and means an outsider. It's used in the context of Kilai HaKerem, Pentikdash HaMle'ah. Pentikdash means it's going to become all forbidden. Kuf Dalet Shin means forbidden. That's what it means. And the Mishnah in Masechet Kilayim says, Ein Adam Oser Davar She'eno Shelo. And there is another girsa, Ein Adam Mikadesh Davar She'eno Shelo. So Oser and Kadosh, in this context, Kadosh means Isur. And that's why when we call the first stage of a marriage Kiddushin, so everybody gives a nice drusha about the sanctity of the bayit, blah, 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 blah. That's not what it is. But the word Kiddushin is really synonymous with Erusin, but the word Erusin is really Isurin. You know, in Biblical Hebrew, sometimes the letters Salma, Simla, Keves, Kesev, and Kesev Talva, these things happen in Biblical Hebrew. So, Isurim, anything, well, what does it mean that a person gives a woman in front of two Eidim, Kesev Kiddushin? So what happens? She then becomes prohibited to everybody, including to this fellow standing next to her. Until the Nisuin, she's prohibited to everybody. Everybody. So what does Erusin mean in Halakha? Prohibition. That's what it means. So the Chazal gave it a twist. He called it Erusin, but it's really Isurin or Kiddushin. So that's why if a man says, under the chuppah, reat uresestli betabatzu, it's perfectly kosher Kiddushin. Perfectly kosher.
A
what?
A Janus word.
Okay, it's a word that sometimes has, you know, in certain contexts. For example, chesed. It's a very good example. Chesed. I mean, you can have a more lofty word than chesed. We're involved in chesed. So in Parshat Kedoshim, it says that a person has relations with a sister, chesed who? What's the chesed? So the Medrash says, once there was a chesed, olam chesed yibaneh, and that was when the children of Adam and Chava, who did they marry? Since Vayolad Banim of Anot, they had married sisters. Because they didn't marry sisters, there wouldn't be a world. Right? So now that says until them, Olam Chesed Yibaneh. So once it was a Chesed. But that's not the Pshat. What does it mean? Chesed who? So the Rav explained the Chesed means overflowing. A person can't control himself, can't control his desires. So in the context of Gilui Arayot, it expresses itself with a brother and a sister. Chesed who? But we use it that a person is blessed with bounty, but he doesn't keep it to himself, but he shares it with others. So we call it chasadim, chesed. It's the same idea, but used in an opposite context. Same thing with the kadosh. So kedusha, used in a hallowed sense, is that anything from the created world, it could be time, it could be place, it could be clothing, it could be a thought, it could be a building, it could be an animal, it could be a human being. Everything about the created world is waiting to be dedicated for Avodat Hashem. Now the world is not, you don't have everything that's Avodat Hashem. And that's exactly what Mavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol is all about. Kodesh is that which is dedicated for Avodat Hashem, and Chol is that which is not dedicated for Avodat Hashem. So Rav Kook Zatzal came up with Lil Chap. He said, it's not that it's Chol, it's a potential Kedusha. Since that which is chulin is waiting for a draft notice to enter the world of Kedusha. So we want to be mekadesh everything. We want to. But there's an axiomatic idea in halacha that Kedusha is a result of human action. human action. This is coming Shabbat. I'm giving a shiur in the El Nechama on mitzvah, haftacha versus mitzvah. With regard to Lech Lecha. So when does Eretz Yisrael become sanctified? When is it? Eretz Yisrael is kadosh. From when? People think Lech Lecha. Wrong. Nobody sanctified the land in Parshat Lech Lecha. It's just a promise. It's a promised land. As the Gemara says, Eretz muchzeket hi me'avotenu. But doesn't say mekudeshet hi me'avotenu. Eretz Yisrael becomes kadosh first time when Yeshua crosses the Yarden and steps foot and starts conquering. Kol makom asher tidroch kafrag lechem. That was an act of kedusha. He sanctified it by an act. And the first time Harabayit becomes kadosh was in Avram Avinu response to the command for the Akedah, and he says Hineini. That was an act of sanctification. Human beings sanctify. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sanctify. And if that's the case, there's one problem with Shabbat. Shabbat says Vayvarach Elokim et Yom Hashvi'i Vayekadesh Oto. You see, Hakadosh Baruch Hu does sanctify the seventh day. So, with regard to Yom Tov, as we mentioned last week, it all stems from Kiddush HaChodesh. So human beings sanctify the moon, the new moon, the new month, and that kicks in the Kiddusha of the Chagim. And that's why we say in Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Rashei Chodeshim. And that's why we say on Yom Tov, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim, or Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom Zikaron on Rosh Hashanah, or Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom Kippurim on Yom Kippur. But Shabbat we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbat. Why? Because it seems not to have to do with the Kiddusha act of Am Yisrael, so it's just Mekadesh Shabbat. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu already sanctified the day, then we have no business making Kiddush. Because making Kiddush means doing something, it could be physical act, it could be a spoken act, it could be a thought process, that we're sanctifying something. So how can you sanctify something that was already sanctified? So here comes a big Kiddush to what the Rav developed. Is the answer is yes. There's a, just like when you build a building, you can have the first floor, and you can build a second floor, and a third floor, and a fourth. You can build on Kedusha. So you can have Kedusha al Gabei Kedusha. A good example, is the sanctification of the Bechor of a Behemah. There's a mitzvah that when somebody has a flock, so the firstborn is a korban. It's called the Kedushat Bechor. And the Gemara says clearly that the Bechor, the Behema, this animal, is Kadosh Mirechem. In utero, it's already Kadosh. Yet, I'm sure you remember the Psukim from Parshat Re'eh, Kol HaBechor HaShei Yivalei B'Bechorcha V'Tzoncha Takdish L'Hashem Elokecha. What do you mean Takdish L'Hashem Elokecha? You go and sanctify it. You say, Harezu Kadosh. That's what the Mishnah says. Harezu Kadosh. But what are you sanctifying? It was already sanctified. The answer is, yes, it was sanctified. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to build on that Kedusha. Build another koma to the Kedusha that the Torah said that this animal was already Kadosh. And when you study the halachot of Kedushat Bechor, you'll see that it's not just in name only an add-on. All right, it's now Kadosh by a human being. But that addition carries with it weight, halachic weight, in terms of the nature of how we relate to this korban Bechor Behemah. So too with regard to Shabbat. Indeed, Kadosh Baruch Hu made the day of Shabbat. Vavaruch Elokim et Yom HaShvi'i V'Kadesh Oto. The mitzvah of Zachor Yom Shabbat L'Kadesho says, L'Kadesho, build another story to the Kedusha that I've already built. So when we examine Kiddush Friday night, where exactly does Kiddush begin? In the text that we say Kiddush. Where does it begin?
Table.
What's the first word that in the text of Kiddush?
Yom HaShishi.
So you say Yom HaShishi. You say Vayera Vavoker. No, that's not Kiddush. No, not Kiddush. Sorry. Good try. What?
The Kacho.
What do you say the Kacho? What? Correct. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Which Baruch Ata Hashem? Borei Pi Hagafen. That's the beginning of Kiddush. But one second, we don't start Kiddush over there. We start with either, as originally was, Vaychulo Shamayim Vaaretz, and then the Kabbalists came up with an ingenious idea. Most probably, I have to check it, from the Hasidei Ashkenaz of the 13th century, not to be confused at all with the Baal Shem Tov. The Hasidei Ashkenaz of the 13th century, they were into combining words with letters. So Vaychulo Hashamayim is Vav Hei, the Rashi Tevot, the first two words, Vav and Hei, Vaychulo Hashamayim. But if you look at the pasuk that ends, Vayerev Avoka Yom Hashishi, Yom Hashishi is Yud He. So if you put Yom Hashishi Vachulo Shamayim in one breath, you've spelled out God's name, Yud Kevavke, Shem Avaya. So that became a minhag, not to start with Vachulo Shamayim, but to start Yom Hashishi Vachulo Shamayim. And then, you know, some Litvaks got up and said, one second, that Yom Hashishi is the middle of the pasuk. So you start Vayerev Avoka Yom Hashishi. But then you don't catch the Yom Hashishi Vayechula Shamayim. So what does it say in the Birchonim? Vayer Vavoke, you say it Balachash, you say it low, undertone. You say Vayer Vavoke, Yom Hashishi, right? That's a, and then some other Litvak said, one second, the Pasuk doesn't start with Vayer Vavoke. It says, Vayar Elokim et kol asher asa v'inei tov ma'od, Vayer Vavoke, Yom Hashishi. So there are some people, when they start Kiddush, they begin with that Pasuk in an undertone until they get to Yom Hashishi, when they say it out loud, Yom Hashishi v'chul Hashmai. But that part, Yom Hashishi, which most of Klal Yisrael, if not all of Klal Yisrael, says in a stand-up fashion, that's not Kiddush. That's a preamble to Kiddush. It's an introduction. It's a declaration of testimony that a Kadosh Baruch Hu sanctified the day of Shabbat. Ba'avarach Elokim et Yom HaShvi'i vayakadesh oto. Kivo Shabbat mekol malachto ha-shabara Elokim lasot. Fine, so the day is sanctified. Let's sit down and eat, you know. Let's get down to the chalas. Why the Bar Per Gofen now and the bracha mekadesh ha-shabbat? Mekadesh ha-shabbat? That means we're sanctifying something. What are you sanctifying if it's already sanctified? So as I mentioned just a few moments ago, we're building. What are we building? So what is the nature of the bracha? Sher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'ratzavanu v'shabbat kodsho v'avav v'rotzon etchilanu zikaron namaseh v'reshit. Fine, that we understand. But then we say, ki hu yom tchila l'mikra'e kodesh, or as Nusach Ari has it, tchila l'mikra'e kodesh, zeche Litziat Mitzrayim. Where did Mitzrayim come from? Who's talking about Mitzrayim? I mean, Kiddush for Pesach, I understand Mitzrayim. Kiddush for Shavuot, for Sukkot, all this I understand Mitzrayim. Anything that's dependent upon Kiddush HaChodesh, I understand Mitzrayim. By Daber, by Hashem, El Moshe, El Aaron, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Lemor, HaChodesh, Elachem, Rosh Chodeshim, perfectly understandable. But what does that have to do with Shabbat? Zeh Litziat Mitzrayim. And what does it mean, Tchila, or Ki Hu Yom Tchila, L'mikra Ekodesh? In Vayikra Kav Gimel, is the answer. Eile Moadei Hashem, Mikra Ekodesh, Asher Tikru Otam B'Moadam. Here is the list of those days that announce Kedusha, Mikra Ekodesh. What's first on the list? Not Pesach, but Shabbat. Tchilan l'mikra kodesh. It appears first on the list in Vayikra Perek of Gimel, Parshat Emor, of Eile Moadei Hashem, Mikra kodesh, which means Shabbat is also a Moed. And what are the Moadim? Zecha Litziat Mitzrayim. So Shabbat is also a Zecha Litziat Mitzrayim. From where do we know that? Let's look at, scan down to source number 5. In source number 5, you have the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. And the Rambam says, "Ukvar ba'u bezot ha-mitzvah shtei alot mitchalfot mibnei shehem l'shnei alulim mitchalfim." Rambam says there's going to be some duality here in the Aseret HaDibrot vis-a-vis Shabbat. "V'zehu shu amar ba'alat higdil ha-shabbat ba'aseret ha-dibrot ha-rishonot," in the first set of the Aseret HaDibrot as found in Parshat Yitro, it says, we know the difference. Everybody knows the difference. Zachor, and the other one says Shamor. But that's not what the Rambam's dealing with. The Torah says, Zachor Yom Shabbat HaKadosho. And in both cases, it says, Sheshit Yamim Taseh Melachtecha V'Yom Shvi'i Shabbat Hashem Elokecha. That's, you know, common. Even. But when the Torah, the Aseret HaDibrot, tells us why Shabbat, so in Parshat Yitro, it says, Ki Sheshit Yamim Asa Hashem Et HaShamayim Et HaAretz Et HaYam Bet Kol HaShabam Vayanach Bayom HaShvi'i Al Kain Berach Hashem et Yom HaShabbat V'Kadshehu. Who blessed the day? Who sanctified the day as the day of creation? Not us. Kadosh Baruch Hu did that. That's Parshat Yitro. That's Zikaron L'Maseh Bereshit. But if you flip to Parshat Vetchanan in the second set, V'Amar B'Moshe B'Mishneh Torah, rather, Mishneh Torah is the code for Sefer Dvarim. There's not a word about creation there. It says, "V'zacharta ki ever hita b'Mitzrayim v'yiftacha Hashem alokecha misham al kain tzivcha Hashem alokecha la'asot et Yom HaShabbat. What does it mean, lasot? You do something. You have to do something. Al kein sifcha Hashem Elokecha, lasot et Yom HaShabbat. Omer, the Rambam says in Source 5, v'zeh emet, this is the truth. Ilul b'mamar rishon hu kavod hayom v'higdilo. Al kein berach Hashem et Yom HaShabbat v'kacheyu. But then the second has to do with Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Why? So Rambam tells us, because in Mitzrayim, we never got a day off from work. And not getting a day off from work is a social crime. I mean, even the atheist communist government of former Soviet Union knew you can't work a person 7 days a week. The only place that did that was in concentration camp, where nobody got a day off. Because they were prisoners at Kedekach. Not to give a day off is inhumane. Pashut inhumane. So what's the first thing that Am Yisrael receives from HaKadosh Baruch Hu right after they get out of Mitzrayim? They're crossing the Yam Suf, and they walk 3 days, and the jerrycan, mayim, the waters are finished, and they're screaming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for water. So fine, so there's all that's called Marag, we get a little bit of a miracle, and we get water. We also got some Torah there. Sham sam lo choku mishpat v'sham nisahu. So what exactly did we receive over there? So one opinion in the Gemara, Masechet Sanhedrin, something about Shabbat. And we hear about Shabbat just a few psukim later. They are arguing about food, and Kadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to send some sandwiches from Shemayim. And you want tuna? You want egg salad? It sounds like the Poland trip, you know? Man! But, al yetzei ish mimkomo bayom ha-shvi'i. We don't have yet 39 melachot. There are many things about Shabbat we don't have in Parshat Bishalach. And that's why in Musaf on Shabbat, we're still credible by saying, Az mi Sinai nitztavu, where Shabbat was commanded by Sinai, where people have asked, one second, didn't we get Shabbat a little bit before Sinai? So the Rav's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, responded, says, yeah, but Korban Musaf, we didn't receive it, Parshat Bishalach. And what is Tfilat Musaf? If not, Uviyom HaShabbat Shnei Chvasim B'nei Shanat Mimim, the Korban Musaf, this we received for sure at Sinai, and not before. So it's legitimate to say, Tikam to Shabbat Vatzita Korbanoteha, which you know is Aleph Bet backwards. That's how I know it by heart, right? Otherwise I'd never know it. Tikam to Shabbat Vatzita Korbanoteha, right? Taf, Shin, Reish, Kuf. Tikanta Shabbat, Ratzita Komanateh, Tzibita Perusheha, Im Sidurei Nisameha, Me'angeha Le'olam Kavod Yimchalu, Toameha Chaim Zachu, Ve'gam O'avim Devareha, Gidula Bacharu. As. But what comes afterwards? Here, Nusach Sfard over Nusach Ashkenaz. Nusach Sfard says, As, Misinai Nitztavu Aleha. But Nusach Sfard says, As, Misinai, Tzivui Pa'aleha Kara'ui. All the end letters. All the end letters of the alphabet. That's Az, Misinai, is a Mem, Tzadi, Kaf, and it's all there. All the end letters are there. Az, Misinai, Tzivui, Palea, Karaui. And but then it continues. Batetzavenu, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command? Commanded, Tmidim, Kisidam, Umusafim, Kilchatam, Bet Musaf, Yama Shabbat, Azen, Aseven, Akriu, Fanecha, and so on, so on. It's Parshat Pinchas. That's all Kabbalat HaTorah from Sinai. So there's no problem saying Az mi Sinai nitztavu if we receive something about Shabbat already in Parshat Bishalach a few weeks before Matan Torah. What did we receive? The concept that you don't work 7 days. What was work to Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar? They had to work hard, open the door and take a shovel and put it on into the shisel and bring it inside and here's breakfast. It was hard work for some people, right? Medrash says that for some people they didn't get it on the doormat. They had to go a little bit further. This Kadosh Baruch Hu separated the men from the boys there, spiritually. How far are you going to have to work to get your man? But whatever it is, Shabbat, it's not going to fall, and Friday, you're going to get Lecha Mishnah. Here's the term, Lecha Mishnah. You're going to get two portions, and you'll have enough for Shabbat. Yofi! So Shabbat, we received immediately after Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Why? It was a rectification of a social injustice. So it's a mishpat. The Torah says, Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat. Regarding Shabbat as the creation of the world, that's chok. That's a law. Chok natan v'lo yavor. Those are the laws of nature. Or in Yirmiyahu it says, Chukot shamayim va'aretz lo samti. This has to do with law and order of the universe. Mishpat is ve'ilam mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem, is social justice. So where does social justice come into Shabbat? The answer is that you have to have a day off. from work. And as an act of social justice linked to Yetziat Mitzrayim, who is going to sanctify that part of Shabbat? The only part of Shabbat that was sanctified by HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the part of the creation. Zikaron lemaseh bereshit. Of Kisheshet Yamim Asa Hashem et Hashamayim ve Ta'aretz et Hayam ve Kol HaShabam ve Yanach Ba'ashvi. Akein Be'erak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified. For sure, the Chok part. What about the Mishpat part? The Zecher L'Tziyat Mitzrayim. Tchilah L'Mikrei Kodesh. Zecher L'Tziyat Mitzrayim. Shabbat falls in nice and neat into the section of Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, of all the Chagim. We have to make it holy. That aspect of Shabbat, Am Yisrael has to make holy. And that, the root of the mitzvah of declaration of the day of Shabbat, declaring the day of Shabbat, that's what Kiddush is all about. It's a ma'aseh mikadesh, to use the language of the Briska. It's a ma'aseh mikadesh. It's an act that sanctifies. It sanctifies the day, no different than sanctifying any of the other days. If you look at source number 6, it's out of the Yerushalmi Masechet Pesachim in the context of Seder night. And you know, Seder night also carries with it the laws of Kiddush. Those who have studied the 10th parak of Masechet Pesachim, because this Kiddush at Seder night, it's an opportunity for Chazal to talk about Kiddush even on Friday night. That's not Pesach. So that's the address to talk about the laws of Kiddush. And you see something phenomenal. It says in source number 6, Omer Rab Yossi ben Rabun is one of the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael. Nahagin Taman, it was customary there. B'makom she'ein yayin, shliach tzibur yoreh defnei ateva. If there was a place that there was no wine, there was a wine shortage. So the shchazen, now you're going to get a glimpse of where this minhag comes from, Ashkenazi minhag of making kiddush in shul before aleinu l'shabeach. This is where it comes from. Because in Eretz Yisrael, people would congregate in the shul, not only for davening, but if they were poor, they would get a Shabbos meal there. So the chazan would turn around at the end of davening and make kiddush for everybody. So there was not enough wine to go around. It wasn't like, you know, kiddush at the Ol Nechama once a month, where there's, you know, yayin just flowing free. But not free, it costs money. But freely, yes. Shliach tzibur yored lefnei ateva. That's also a beautiful phrase where the chazan descends because there was a little bit of a inclination, decline to give the impression of mi ma'amakim kratir Hashem. The Omer, and he says bracha achat me'ein sheva. The chazan, this is the idea of what we have right after the Ma'ariv Shmon Esrei, an abbreviated type of chazarat hashatz, where we say Vaychulu, and then there's a bracha, Kela Gadol Gibor Marayel Yom, Kanei Shemayim Haaretz, and then we say Magen Avot, and then the Chazan says Ritzei Menuchatenu, and it ends with Baruchat Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbat. And look what it says here. V'choteim Mekadesh Yisrael V'yom HaShabbat. None of us make that kind of a bracha for Kiddush or during davening, but the Rav pointed out, from this is an awareness that there was some who believed. The haki you say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Shabbat, that's not what we're saying doing in Kiddush. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu did already. We want to show and demonstrate that our Kiddush is now linked to the same reason that we make Kiddush and do the mitzvot of any Yom Tov, because it's Klal Yisrael that's doing it. So if Klal Yisrael is now adding the second koma, the second story of Kedushat Shabbat, would be perfectly correct in saying Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael V'yom HaShabbat, just like Mekadesh Yisrael V'azmanim on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. So why don't we do this? Why is this relegated to the Talmud Yerushalmi, but in Talmud Bavli there's no zecher even of this kind of a nusach? Because we want to distinguish between Kedushat Shabbat and all the other days of Kedusha, where the other days of Kedusha, the Kedusha is exclusively Am Yisrael, whereas in Shabbat, it's almost a partnership deal where Am Yisrael has a chelik, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu really kicked it into motion. So we say Baruch Atah Hashem B'Kadesh HaShabbat, and we cover up a little bit Am Yisrael's a portion in this. And here you see that the entire purpose of Kiddush Friday night is actually to function as an act of sanctification, to dedicate this day, this time framework, for Avodat Hashem. And according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Havdalah, Motzei Shabbat, is part two of the same mitzvah. The same mitzvah. And this, by the way, also, the fact that there's a machloket, if Kiddush and Havdalah is one mitzvah in a biblical sense, or one biblical mitzvah Friday night and a rabbinic add-on on Motzei Shabbat led to the whole, there are many women who don't, if they're alone for whatever reason is, don't make Avdolah on their own, but prefer to hear Avdolah by some gentleman. Sometimes it could be some neighbor. I have already heard people get on the phone and call their mother-in-law, whoever they are, and make Avdolah. I've heard this already. And the question is whether that's okay. Most probably vis-a-vis the bracha, it would be okay because it's a live transmission. But you're never going to be able to have Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh unless you do it with Skype. Skype. Skype is not going to work either. Somebody asked me a shayla if you can count the 10th man to a minion by Skype. It's a great idea. It's a great idea. Oh, so according to the Rambam, who defines Havdalah as an integral part of the biblical mitzvah of Kiddush, it's just part two of Kiddush Friday night, so a woman not only can, but she's obligated in Havdalah, bet she can make Havdalah for a man. According to the Rambam. According to the other poskim, who say that Havdalah is not a biblical mitzvah at all, but it's a rabbinic add-on, so now it's defined as a rabbinic add-on that's defined by time. It's a mitzvah taseh, shazman grama, and women are exempt from Havdalah. So there is an opinion out there that says that women are exempt from Havdalah, and it's a rabbinic mitzvah only on the level of the Rabbanan, of a time-bound mitzvah. But the Rambam doesn't buy into this. So why isn't Shabbat mitzvah taseh, shazman grama? Why is, according to the Rambam, both Kiddush and Havdalah biblical, linked to time, and women are 100% obligated? How does that work? That's where Zachor and Shamor come into play. There's a medrash in the Mechilta, the medrash halacha, and it says, Zachor v'shamor b'dibur echad. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah of Zachor Yom Shabbat Kacho, so he gave the flip side, the Aseret HaDibrot, the Parshat Bet Hanan, Moshe Rabbeinu already caught wind that there's a Shamor at Yom Shabbat Kacho. The Zachor is the positive, the Shamor is the don'ts. Every time you have Shmirah in the Torah, it means stand guard, don't fall into the pitfall. So Zachor handles the positive, and Shamor handles the negative side. Of the negative, I mean the don'ts, the lo ta'aseh melacha, don't do work. And whereas everyone agrees that women are obligated in Shmirat Shabbat, not to violate the melachot, so whoever is obligated in the Shamor part is also obligated in the Zachor part. Which means that even though it's the Zachor would be qualified as a mitzvah taseh shazman garama, a time-bound mitzvah, that perhaps a woman would be exempt, here she's not exempt. She's obligated because they're holding hands, the Zachor and Shamor. And the author of the Lechad Odi integrated this immediately in the first stanza, Shamor v'Zachor b'dibur echad. The question is, why did he flip the order? Where, according to the order of the Chumash, it's clearly Zachor and Shamor, Shmot before Dvarim. The answer is, one, he needed the shin for his name, the acrostic. Shlomo Levi Al-Kabatz. Shamor v'zachor likrat Shabbat Mikdash Melech Itnari. There's a Shlomo. And then you have Halevi. So that was classic medieval poetry. But there's a Kabbalistic reason as well. That's brought down in the Ramban. You know, the Ramban wrote Kabbalistic ideas in his Perush as well. And the Rav actually dealt with this once. And he said that the Kabbalists viewed Shabbat, the 24 hours, as 12 hours and 12 hours, the nighttime, the daytime, where the nighttime, it was a position of Shamor, and the daytime was a position of Zachor. And what that meant was that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as if to say, Kavi Yachol, was on the sidelines at night, hoping and waiting for Am Yisrael to get the job done and initiate the Geula. We're supposed to do things. And that's why the Shamor part is a Kadosh Baruch Hu on the side. But what happens if the whole Galut plays itself out and we didn't get the job done? So then Kadosh Baruch Hu says, all right, now I'm going to bring the daytime on my own. So Zachor is the positive side of Kadosh Baruch Hu, where the Zachor is representing a Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Shamor is representing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then whereas the night comes precedes the daytime, so it's Shamor v'Zachor. The whole Lechad Odi is Kabbalistic, so that's why it's Shamor v'Zachor b'dibur echad. Yeah.
If I can squeeze a question in. For Kiddush, for Yom Tov, you have, and when it falls on Shabbat, right, you have parentheses mentioning
right, that it's also Shabbat. Right.
Why do you have B'Ahava?
Okay. The question is ba'avah v'ratzon. There's an add-on. You know what? You remind me next week, okay? Because it's going to take me more than a minute,
okay.
Especially since I don't have a good. I can whip up an answer, but I'd rather not do that. I'd rather think it out. Okay. But it's a good question. We say batitlan Hashem lekeinu be'ava on Shabbat, and during a weekday we don't use the word be'ava uveratzon. On Shabbat we do. We say it in the tefillah be'ava uveratzon. On Shabbat we say besimcha v'sason. They're two different feelings. And that requires, I could try to remember.